I've been asked to do it, but I'm up here too.
I'm very sorry that you don't have the opportunity this morning of hearing Brother Bruce Crabtree preach again. I know you would have enjoyed it. But also realize that this too is of the Lord. No accidents with him. He doeth all things well, and we bow to his will. And I also want to tell you this morning how much I appreciate your kindness. Well, just your kindness and your loving spirit and how you've received us, just like we were part of the family. I thank you. It's been a joy to be with you. Now, our text this morning is going to be Genesis 24, where we have the account of Abraham sending his servant to take a bride for his son Isaac. going to talk about a bride for Isaac, or seeking the bride. Seeking the bride. And I believe this portion of Scripture can only be rightly understood in light of some of the things that's been said before, that's gone before in this portion of Scripture, especially concerning God's dealings with Abraham. For you see, in the history of Abraham and Isaac and so forth, we see in picture and type the work of the triune God. We see pictured the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit as they go about accomplishing the salvation of sinners according to that eternal covenant of mercy. And we see this in verse 1 of chapter 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. You know, here we see, you see something, the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Where our blessings come from? Where do our blessings? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. You see, he's the blessed. That's the origination of it, with God the Father. He blessed Abraham in all things. Look unto Abraham. Look unto Abraham, your father. For I called him alone and blessed him. I tell you, when someone's blessed of God, they're blessed, aren't they? They're blessed. And if they're not blessed of God, whatever else they have, they're not blessed. They're not blessed. And then, of course, we see the work of the Son in Isaac. You go back to chapter 22. We won't go back there for time's sake, but you recall when God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Take him to a place I'll show you. Offer him there for a burnt offering. There we see the Father giving his well-beloved son as a sacrifice, giving him up to death. And, of course, Abraham did that. He set off and went there and was about to slay Isaac when God stopped him. And he looked behind him, and behold, a ram caught by his horns in the bush. And he took the ram in the place, in the stead of Isaac. We see the Son offered by the Father in that glorious doctrine of substitution. The ram dying in the place of Isaac, and he was delivered. And God was satisfied. And redemption was accomplished when God sent his only beloved Son into the world to bear the sins of his people, to die for them, to honor his law and his justice. Salvation was accomplished. God was pleased. God was satisfied. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. To bruise him. And it's through his blood that we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now mark that. It's through his blood. Plus or minus nothing. It's the blood. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. So you see, that's essentially where we are here. And all whom the Father chose and the Son redeemed in this eternal covenant of grace made before the foundation of the world, the Holy Spirit, in agreement with the triune God, shall invincibly bring to Christ through the preaching of the gospel all whom the Father chose and the Son redeemed. And that's what we're talking about this morning in this text. That's what we have pictured here. It's a picture of the work of the Spirit in bringing the elect sheep, the people of Christ, the bride of Christ, to the bridegroom. To the bridegroom. I want to point out to you, as we go through this, I want you to watch this now, that this is accomplished using God's appointed means. God uses means to accomplish his purpose. He doesn't have to, but he's purposed to do so. He's ordained the means as well as the end. As well as the end. And the means that he has ordained for gathering the sheep of Christ, the people of God, is the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, if it pleased God, we'd better pay attention to it. I want to know what pleases God, don't you? I sure do. Well, verse 2, Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. That was a form of taking an oath in those days. This servant obviously was a trusted servant of Abraham. I know some people think that he was Eleazar, whom Abraham sometime before thought was going to be his heir. We don't know, and it's really not important, but he was a faithful servant of Abraham. And it says that he had control of all of Abraham's goods. Had control of all of them. And he says in verse 3, he says, and I'll make thee swear. I'll make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now, just any bride won't do. It's not, Abraham is not sending this servant out just to fill a vacancy, if you will. He's not to take a bride of the daughters of the Canaanites. Were peddlers. He's not peddling. He's not seeking a peddler at all. Not at all. He says, you go to my country and you go to my kindred and you take a wife for my son Isaac. Now this servant, I know there's some respects he can represent the Holy Spirit as a picture of him, but I believe he's more closely represents a preacher of the gospel here. You'll see this as we go through. This preacher is entrusted with the goods of his master, and he's sent to seek the bride for the son, and he knows the difficulty of the task that he's about to undertake, so before he takes this oath, he seeks to have some clarification. And if you look at verse 5, it says, and the servant said to him, said to Abraham, he said, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from which thou camest? Suppose I go down to your father's house, the land of your kindred, and this woman won't come. Suppose she won't come. Now, should I take Isaac down there? Should I come back and get Isaac and take him down there? Now watch this verse 6. Abraham said unto him, you beware that thou bring not my son thither again. What's he talking about? Listen. The preacher must never, never, never bring down the son in order to get results. Don't do it. No, sir. Don't you diminish the son whatsoever. Don't you take him off his throne. Don't you dim his glory and his beauty, his attributes in any way whatsoever. Don't you bring my son down. And don't bring him down again. Don't crucify him afresh. No, don't do that. He died once. He'll not die. Don't do that. Oh, no, don't do that. Just don't you do that. Don't bring my son down to win approval and to get results. Look at verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and did swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. God's in control of this thing. And he'll send his angel before. He'll send his angel before thee. What's it here for, you see, the Holy Spirit of God? God's going to send him before. Your pastor prayed a few minutes ago. And we do every time we stand up here, don't we? Lord, send your Spirit. Make the hearts of the people receptive to the Word. I tell you, that's where the results are accomplished. It's when the Spirit of God goes before and prepares the hearts of the people to receive the Word. You know, in the parable of the sower, several different kinds of ground were there. Rocky soil, thorny soil. There was some good ground that the seed fell upon. You remember? You ever stop to think how that ground got to be good? That's the work of the Spirit of God. That's His sovereign work. That's the Spirit of God going before and plowing up the ground and making it ready to receive the seed of the Word. That Ethiopian eunuch was in his chariot reading the Word, and on the way back, when God sent his messenger to him, why in the world would he stop and have this man come up in his chariot and talk to him? The Spirit of God had been at work upon him. That's why. Who opened Lydia's heart to receive the things that Paul spoke? God did that. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. You can't tell where it's coming from. You can see the effects of it. That's how you know he's been at work. He's sovereign. And he'll prepare the ground. He knows the elect. We don't. He knows who the bride is. We don't. And he'll prepare the ground to receive the Word. Yeah, God will send his angel before. The results are all dependent upon him, not upon the preacher. Now look at verse 8. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. If she won't come, you be clear. Remember what God said to Ezekiel about the watchman? Now you warn them. You warn, if they won't hearken to you, I'll judge them. You be clear. You be clear of this oath. And he says it again, only bring not my son thither again. Why, we can't overemphasize. Cannot overemphasize that point. Don't bring the son down. Don't bring the son down to get results. We see it happening all the time. We see it happening all around us. Oh, God, deliver us from bringing the sun down. Well, servant understands now. Verse 9, the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and he sware concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and he departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose, and he went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Now notice what he took. You see what he took? He took 10 camels of the camels of his master. He took his master's goods. He didn't provide anything, Brother Bob. He didn't provide anything. And he didn't go over to the Canaanites and borrow anything to take along either. He took 10 camels of his master's goods. Now that's what we come bearing before you, the master's goods. The master's goods. I wish I did, but I don't have anything of my own to give you. And if I could give it to you, it wouldn't do you any good. But my master's goods, now they'll do you well. They'll do you well. No question about that. And he made his camels to kneel down. He came, He came to that city, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Here he stopped by this well, and it was time for the women to come out. And he didn't know how he's going to go about this business. He didn't know exactly who to look for. This bride that God has appointed for Isaac, she's not going to come out with a mark on her forehead. How's he going to know? Well, it's going to have to be revealed to him, and there's only one that can do that. So he prays. He prays to God. He's the one that can do it. Isn't that right? And when your pastor prepares this message to bring to you to speak of the goods of his master, he bathes it in prayer to God the Father that he do the work, that he'd apply it. You see, look at his prayer. Look at his prayer. And he said, verse 12, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Lord, will you give good speed and have mercy for Christ's sake? Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw. Behold, I stand here this morning with the well of living water. You've come here to draw, haven't you? Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she'll say, drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for my servant, for thy servant Isaac. It's not my appointment, not one that I pick. One you've appointed. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Well, it came to pass. Before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Isn't that a coincidence? Isn't that a coincidence? And you know what? Verse 16, she was very fair. She was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and she filled her pitcher. And she came up, and the servant ran to meet her, and he said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. She hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And when she'd done giving him drink, she said, I'll draw water for thy camels also until they've all done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all the camels. Listen, we read over that right quick, don't we? That's no small task. You know how much water a thirsty camel can drink? And he had 10 of them. That's a pretty good sign, isn't it? That's a pretty good sign. Oh, my, I'm telling you. She did just exactly what he'd asked God that she would do. Now, I know what would happen in our day. Don't you? I know exactly what that servant would have done. Or the servants of this day, maybe I should say. He prayed that she'd do this, and behold, she came out, and she did it. She watered those camels. She gave him to drink. I'm telling you, in our day, they'd have had her baptized or sprinkled her name entered on a roll, loaded on a camel, and headed for Canaan's land. Wouldn't it? You've seen it, haven't you? Somebody begins to show a little bit of interest or something in the message. You see, maybe, just maybe, the beginnings of the work of the Spirit of God in opening the eyes and the heart and revealing the things of Christ and revealing ourselves to somebody gets a little bit convinced of sin. And boy, we're quick to enroll them, aren't we? Well, what you need to do is get baptized, join the church, and give you something to do. Put them to work. This master is a little wiser than that. Verse 21, the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Now, beloved, here's the attitude we better take. We're very anxious to see the Lord gather in his people and bring them. Let's not be too quick. If the Lord's at work, he'll bring them in due time. We don't have to hurry them along. We don't have to try to speed things up, nor do we have to assist God. He's able. And if this one is, this is her, she'll come. He won't. Held his peace. Hold your peace now. Hold your peace. In verse 22, it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring or half a shekel weight and two bracelets of her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Now he gave her some presents, and where are these? I'm not sure what these represent, but they have some bearing. Perhaps they're a sample of the precious things of Christ that he showed to her. I believe that might be it, don't you? A sample of the precious things. She's getting a taste. She's getting a taste of the Son. And he said, whose daughter are you? Whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray this. Whose daughter are you? Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge? She said to him, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which beareth Nahor. Well, it's Abraham's natural family. But that's no great distinction to say who she was, because they are all idolaters. They're all idolaters. Whose daughter are you? Whose son are you? Now, if you're going to be my master's wife, you're going to know where you came from and where you're going to. Whose daughter are you? Whose daughter are you? I'm the son of Adam. Say that low. Say that with a kind of bated breath. But she said, moreover, to him, we have straw and provender, nothing room to lodge. And she was gracious, wasn't she? She was a gracious lady. And the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. He found out who she was. God had led him right straight to the family of Abraham. Right straight, and he bowed his head and worshiped. Verse 27, he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I, being in the way of the Lord, led me to the house of my master's brethren. Brother Paul, you servant, I wonder how you came to be here. All the way from up there. I know exactly how you came to be here, don't you? The Lord meat to the house. My master's brethren.
Yeah.
Well, verse 28, the damsel ran, Rebekah ran, told these things of her mother's house, told them all these things. Rebekah had a brother. His name was Laban. You run into him later on. He and Jacob spent a lot of time together. Laban ran out unto the man unto the well, and it came to pass when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. He's impressed with what he saw. He's impressed with what he saw. In verse 32, and the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and they gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him, and there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I've told mine errand. And they said, speak on. Now he's not going to be sidelined or distracted. Let's party. Let's make a little whoop-de-doo here, and then we'll get down to business. No, let's get down to business first. He's on an errand for his master, and that's got to come first. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God. These things will be added later. There's time and a place for them. Time and a place. But we've got to take care of the errand first. And they told him, they said, speak on, verse 34. And he said, I'm Abraham's servant. Whoa! They didn't know who he was up to this point. I'm Abraham's servant. I'm a servant. But I'm Abraham's servant. You know that name carried some weight around that place. What Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I'm a servant of Christ. I'm an ambassador of the King. You're an ambassador of the King. You've got to carry the message of the King. Nothing. The servant's nothing. But the master is. I don't have anything to say of myself. But I got something to tell you the master told me to say. Isn't that right? Look what he says now. Watch what he says. He said, I'm Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he's become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. Now watch, here's the key. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. All that he had. Turn over to Hebrews 1. I want you to look at this. Here's the key. We're talking about the Son. Here's the gist of the message. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The worlds and they that dwell therein. All belongs to God. And he's given it to his son. All that he hath, he's given to the son. Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by Son, watch, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. He's the heir. It all belongs to him. It's all his. Every single bit of it is his. It's his. There's no question about that. Our Lord himself said, all things are given unto me. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. All things is given to him. Yeah, he's given all that he hath, all that he hath to the Son. And verse 37, he said, and my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son or the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. You know, as he goes through this thing, he relates just exactly what has taken place. I'm going to read through it without much comment here. But I want you to notice as he goes through this, he doesn't add anything or he doesn't take anything away. He doesn't embellish it. He tells exactly what transpired between him and the master, between he and Abraham, and what his mission is. Verse 38, he said, thou shalt go into my father's house, to my kindred, and take a wife of my son. And I said to my master, peradventure the woman won't follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this mine oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, that thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day into the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way, which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camel. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well, and she drew water, and I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and she said, drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her, and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hand. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. Just a clear statement of what's going on, what's happening, what he's there for. What it's there for. Now, here's the point. Here it comes down to this, verse 49. You heard the message. The son's been described. And now if you deal kindly and truly with my master, now you tell me. And if not, tell me. One way or the other, you tell me, that I might turn to the right hand or to the left. You going to receive the message? You going to honor the message? Are you interested in being the bride of the master's son? Tell me. You don't want it, I'll go elsewhere. You want it? We'll get on with it. Chapter 50, Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We can't speak unto thee good or bad. I tell you right here, here's a perfect example of a fence straddler. They can't deny the truth of the message. Don't really have any interest in it. But they can't deny that it's on authenticity, that it's God's message, that it concerns His Son, that it's all of grace, that it's all in Him, that He's the heir of all things, and they acknowledge that it comes from God, they just don't have any interest. We can't speak unto thee good or bad. Yeah, all right. That's what you want. But here, verse 51, behold, Rebekah's before thee, take her. They're afraid. They don't have really any interest in themselves, but they're afraid to oppose God. That's good. But here's Rebekah, you take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. Well, if once the Lord's will is ever revealed to us, we best not resist it. Whether we like it or not, we best not resist it. Now here she is. Take her, let her be your wife's son. Came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah, and he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And boy, they ate and they drank, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. They rose up in the morning, and he said, now send me away to my master. You know what it came for? I'm going to go back. Got to get back. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. If you look in the margin there, it tells you they're talking about 10 months or a year, not just a few days. I don't know if you find it so, but I do in almost every case, that one of the greatest hindrances in people coming to Christ comes from the family. One way or the other. You know, there's lots of different approaches to that, but they don't leave our church and go over there. Are you sure you want to do this? You know, natural family, quite often. Man's enemies will be those of his own household, his own house. And they just didn't want her to leave. Didn't want her to leave. Let her stay a year and then she can go. And he said, verse 56, he said to them, now don't slow me down, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, you send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, well, we'll call the damsel, inquire at her mouth. I'm sure she'll want to stay a while before she leaves. And they called Rebekah, said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? You know, all this time, from the time she'd met him at the well, she'd been sitting back outside, out of the limelight, listening to everything that's been being said, pondering it in her mind. Everybody else is busy, active, and talking. Well, here's what I think about this situation. She's just sitting there. I find that so often the case. I see, you know, you preach the glory of the Redeemer, the majesty of His person, the freeness of His grace, the excellence and beauty and glory of Christ. And you see somebody over here talking, somebody over here moving, somebody over here squirming. You think, well, they're hearing what's being said, but there's somebody sitting there not making a sound and not making a move. It's either not hearing a thing. I don't be too quick to judge. We can't see the heart, can we? We cannot see the heart. They called Rebekah. They said to her, she'd weighed these things. She'd heard she'd heard this servant describe the majesty of the Son. He's the Master's Son, and the Master's giving everything. Everything. It's all in His hands. It all belongs to Him. All belongs to Him. She'd never even seen Him. And she's being asked to leave home and family and travel hundreds of miles to go to a person she's never seen. What about you? You heard of the majesty and the glory and the beauty of the Son, haven't you? Have you ever seen Him? You've heard Him described, haven't you? And some have said, well, yeah, you can go. Yeah, you ought to go, but no, you ought to wait a while. Well, I'll go when I get ready. Well, what about you, Rebecca? Wilt thou go with this man? Will you go to be the bride of one you've never seen? Just having heard a description of him? I will go. Now, my dear friends, you listen to me. I know the gospel's preached here. I know the message of the Master is preached here. The excellency of the person of the Son. He's taken the bride unto himself. He's been described to you. He's been described to you, hasn't he? And we know that God has set His love upon a people and chosen them unto salvation from before the foundation of the world, and in time the Son died for them and redeemed them unto Himself, and the Spirit of God through the preaching of the gospel is at work drawing them right now, and they'll come, they will invincibly be drawn unto the Lord Jesus Christ through the description given of Him in the gospel, the declaration of His person, and they'll come. But I'm telling you right now, if you wait for something to get a hold of you and physically drag you to Christ, you'll never come. Right here is what it comes down to. Will you go? Well, there's no doubt about Rebecca's answer. I'll go. We're not brought to Christ against our will. That servant didn't tie her up, load her on a camel, and drag her back to Isaac. No, sir. She went willingly, lovingly, and if you ever come to Christ, you'll come the same way. There's no one here that has come who has come any other way. I'll go. And I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on going. And look, they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men, and they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those that which hate thee. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and they followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. She left with a man she don't know for one day, going to a place she'd never been, to be the bride of a man she'd never seen. And you know, they rode upon camels. You reckon we'll ever get to Christ? It's a slow process through a desert land, isn't it? But bless God, He give His angels charge over you. You'll get there. You'll get there. You know how she was going to get there? I want you to look at this now. They rode upon camels and followed the man. That's what Paul said to the Thessalonians was. You became followers of us and of the Lord. Now, like I told you before, it's not that the servant was anything of himself, but he's Abraham's servant. And he's leading to Isaac. And he's got the master's words. And if you're going to go, if you're going to go to Isaac, you're going to have to follow the man. He knows the way. He knows the way. And you'll go there being carried and being led. Walking. Being carried and being led. Verse 62, Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. About that same time, Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, boy, she came off that camel. For she said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. There he is. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he'd done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, she became his wife, and he loved her. He loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. He loved her, and he was comforted. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and he'll be satisfied. He loved her, and he died for her, and he loves her still. And now, his death, when he sees the beauty of his bride, made so by him, he's satisfied. He's satisfied. Where's the servant? He dropped the other picture. His work's done. His work's done. When the bride comes to Christ, he has the preeminence. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Please God that he should have all the preeminence. The servant just drops outside. Where'd he go? I don't know. Probably after another bride. Probably after another. Probably led by the Spirit. Well, I hope you'll take that home and look it over and pray the Lord bless it to your heart. But that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're seeking the bride. Not just any bride. But we're seeking the bride of our master, the one God hath appointed. And we deliver the master's message. And we describe our Lord as best we can. Poor faltering time. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. But we describe him as the Lord enables. And it comes down to this. Will you go? And every single one of his people will return this answer. I'll go. I'll go. Others are going to say, I'm not interested. Well, just tell me and I'll be on my way. Because somebody's going to be in. Somebody's going to come. Somebody's been appointed of God to be the bride of his son. He died for it. He redeemed it. He redeemed and sent his spirit. He sent his angel before the word to prepare their hearts to receive this message. Will you go? I'll go. Will you? Lord bless you.
He's leaving today, and after another bride. Hope the Lord blesses you well. And I hope one of our daughters has let down her picture. What's that number, Brother Joe?
235.
You coming? Leave us just a minute. 235. Let's stand and we'll sing a couple of verses and be dismissed. 235. Let's stand.
Stand with me. Sing the first and the third stanza. First and the third.
Say,